Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
He kōna i purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Hi, this is comedian and depressed alcoholic James Nokise, and you're listening to Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower, a podcast about headspace and happiness. For my safe space, the shower with fried chicken. This episode, I'm talking to Josh Thompson, comedian, actor, and host of The Project on TV3. He's going to tell us about dealing with fame.
Ted, You're in a movie. Harry Potter. And I went, I'm not in Harry Potter. And then he went, Hagrid, you're Hagrid.
His experiences as a comedy actor.
It came out to horrific reviews. I was getting yelled at in the street.
And our shared Pacific heritage.
Yeah. Yeah, you're way more fresh than me.
You still call it the KFC?
Yeah, North Island. North Island, mate.
Some of this will get a bit real. The language, the subjects. So make sure you're in a safe space with your comfort food and join us eating fried chicken in the shower.
We do look like a weird 1980s sitcom right now.
Yeah.
Like this would be the intro shot.
I'm
waiting for that. What you don't know is that this is a fold down shower seat, which is made for one person and not sort of one and a half.
Look, it's like it's
you've got a handle on your side. You're fine.
Yeah, I'm actually holding us up okay, right now.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
No, that's all right, bro. Okay. I got you. What chicken are we eating?
So I think it's called Danger Spicy Chicken.
All right.
And I'm not good with spicy food, so this is going to be very sweaty, safe space for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I just put it on there.
Okay.
I think the budget covers dry cleaning.
Okay, good.
Okay, so this is the sauce. And
is it?
Do you want to handle the chicken?
That's a lot of sauce.
I think this is the sauce.
That can't be the sauce.
I've got to be honest, I haven't really eaten spicy chicken.
You haven't eaten spicy chicken?
Well, I mean, I do, but I'm not really a spice person.
Yeah, no, me either. This is a terrible decision.
Okay.
Well, it's a terrible decision. Okay, I'll take these.
I mean,
that was really good. Why are we eating fried chicken in the shack?
Because this is basically my safe space. This, like, I don't know what you do. I do this.
What do you mean?
Like, when I want to feel like if I'm like in a real bad headspace, I'll go into the shower with some fried chicken.
Is the shower on?
Well, normally the shower's on, but it's more about the location.
Don't you get a wet fried chicken?
Yeah. Well, you just kind of leaning out. Like the shower's only going in one direction.
Yeah, true.
So you can like still stay warm and wet, but then you're eating the shower.
It's quite a lot of admin.
Well, I mean,
to get it to happen.
Yeah. It's not so much having to setting up a podcast in the shower. That's way more.
I don't even know whose house I'm in.
You're making it sound like this is weird. But what do you do?
One thing I kind of do is go and. One thing that makes me feel better is if I go and build stuff.
When you go like house or.
House stuff or. Not random, like I've just got a list of stuff that, you know, I've got to fix, like the tap and tidy up the back yard. Because what I do and what we do is it's so intangible. If we have a good day, nothing's really changed. It's just other people's opinions, baby. we've written something or there's nothing there, but like at home, you know, I've built a fence between me and the neighbours, and if I feel stunk, I'll go and look at the fence.
Just stand there.
I'll just look at it and go, oh, that's a good fence.
Yeah, I'll build that.
I had a good time making that because there's a thing that's there. Yeah, so I think just doing something like manual, even just like mowing the lawns or something like that, just kind of, I'm shutting stuff out, but at least I'm doing something constructive. And it kind of shuts all the noise out for a bit, I think. It's kind of good for me.
Your parents met in Tonga?
Yep. So dad was a civil engineer and he built like airports and wharfs and stuff. And then they met and got married and flew back. And we were like the only. Well, I think the other families moved in relatively quickly, but we were.
They heard one and made it.
One and cracked it.
Man, that's intense. Like, not the chicken, the
So it was a bit weird, but it wasn't too bad. Christchurch was awful. My brother, like, skinheads tried to stab my brother.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, missed and got his girlfriend. Joke's on them. That was. But it wasn't too bad for us growing up, comparatively. Yeah.
I mean,
apart from the stabbing. So.
Have you gone to Tonga?
I've been to Tonga a few times. Get to take my new daughter to Tonga.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But yeah, we're related to a lot of people that we don't really know very well. So
I feel that.
Yeah. It's a lot of, you don't really know what's going to happen, and then you end up on someone else's floor, and then you're taking parcels of food to someone else. And well, we've got a family friend who I don't know, and I took over a big bucket of chicken.
Okay.
KFC.
Did you have to smuggle it?
No, I took it legally in the kit, but we took it carry on.
Amazing.
And my wife opened it on the plane. Insanity.
Oh, like, my God.
She opened it. I mean, I was asleep and I woke up and I went, my goodness, close the bag. all these heads on the plane turning around, what's up, close it, what are you doing?
We'll never make it off this plane alive. Because my dad made me smuggle it.
Oh, really?
When I was a kid.
Where?
Back in 93.
Where did you put it?
In the luggage. We went to the KFC. We were on the morning flight.
Oh, right.
And we went to the KFC the night before, wrapped it in aluminium, and then stuffed it. So I was like an international chicken smuggler.
Yeah. Yeah, you're way more fresh than me.
you still call it the KFC?
No,
okay. When you do like have success, like you're still connected to the community, though, right?
Yeah, I it's harder
because
like
the Tongan host on the project.
Yeah, but because it's another thing. I don't know if I'm representing very well because I can't speak it, and my aunties and uncles have died off. So like it's harder. I've still got relatives, but I don't know them as well. I don't see them as much. In Auckland, so I feel there is a big disconnect, and I don't know how to. I'm very bad during the functions. I'm very bad Tongan. I don't know what's going on, and I think this is because, say, at least with like Maori culture, you can pick up a book or you can Google how to enter a marae, like what a waiata is or who goes first or whatever like that.
Yeah,
I can't find any of that stuff for Tongan stuff.
Yeah, right.
And you just get told or you find out. Or you experience it. So, and because I've missed all that growing up, everyone thinks I know what's going on. So I'll be at a function and then someone will be just giving me eyebrows, which is the international sign for everything.
Yeah. So,
and I'll be like, what? And then the hand towards me, and then the what do you want to do? What do you want me to do? Go get the pig. What pig? Sione brought a pig. Okay. Is there a Sione? I don't know who. I meant to do all this stuff and I don't know what to do. I did a bunch of commercials for Fresh Up, and that was like my first sort of, the Tongan community were like into that. I don't know why. But I would go into like a church with my mum. I think it was somebody's wedding, and it was all in Tongan. I didn't know what was happening, and it was an hour of Tongan, and then the guy stopped and said Fresh Up, and then my mum looked at me, and then the entire church looked at me, and then mum said stand up. So I stood up, everyone clapped, and then I sat down again, and then it was Tongan.
Did your mum ever like translate, like ever tell you?
No.
Actually, I remember, I think you told me a story, this like back in the day, but like, when you went to Japan.
Yeah, I got recognised. I'd been in a film, and I know it had just gone to Japan, and I was walking up towards a shrine, and there were lots of little shops on either side. And this Japanese gentleman went, he said, you're on a movie. And I went, oh, wow, yes. And he went, Harry Potter. And I went,
who do you think you were?
Harry Potter. And I went, I'm not in Harry Potter. And then he went, Hagrid, you're Hagrid. And then I just for so long was arguing with him that I wasn't Hagrid. And then I said, fine, I'm Hagrid. And then he turned to everybody in the shop and he went, it's Hagrid! And everyone went, yeah! And then he gave me a kimono.
Eating fried chicken in the shower when yoga just won't cut it.
What do you do to make yourself okay? Like, what do you, like, what's, it can't always just be TV and...
I mean, yeah, I'm very lucky, you know, like, I think if I ever, actually, one time I was really down because I don't know, I've been working a lot and I just was very frustrated and I can't remember why. It's really embarrassing. But I went back through my school, I was a bit of a nerd at school and I won a lot of things, and at uni I won some short film things and I won some other stuff, and I actually had like a big box of trophies, and then I went and polished my trophies and then I felt better.
That's great. Do you still have the trophies?
Yes. I did a sitcom called Welcome to Paradise. Mm-hmm. And it was in Wellington. I got flown down. I want to be an actor. It was a dream. It came out to horrific reviews. But...
I mean, that's quite a descriptive word.
It was horrific. I was getting yelled at in the street.
People
making fun of me. Your show is shit. You're not funny. Probably the worst thing, though, was that it came out the same time as Flight of the Conchords. And it came out on the same night. And it was us first, and then it was Flight of the Conchords. However, we were marketed on billboards and on the channel as... groundbreaking New Zealand television. So people tuned in for groundbreaking New Zealand television, got a very traditional format of New Zealand television called Welcome to Paradise, and then they got some actual groundbreaking television from Flight of the Conchords from the States. And it's the complete opposite. And I made it worse. I was at a Christmas party and someone was going on and on about how much they hated it to me. It was a really good time. My phone rang and it was a reporter and they asked me what was wrong with the show. And instead of shutting up or hanging up, I went,
oh, I do remember.
I said a bunch of stuff and it all got, I shouldn't have said stuff anyway, but it got really taken out of context and I really got done over by this reporter. Yeah, there was things where I'd say a whole sentence and I'd use half the sentence. And I was like, I couldn't believe it because I basically betrayed very close friends. There were people that I stayed with who looked after me and I, were really good friends, and I threw them under the bus basically with this article, and I felt sick about it for a really long time. It took a long time for them to talk to me again, which is fair enough, and I don't know if I'd have done some irreparable damage otherwise. weirdly, it outrated the Conchords.
That's hilarious. Do you ever tell them that?
Who?
Jermaine and Brett?
No.
I mean, that's got to be up there with trophy polishing. Just like, you got an Oscar. Oh, you been a Man in Black. Well, I think you're fine. Who won the ratings war that year?
Yeah, the ratings war. Yeah, yeah. That sweet late night prime spot. a lot of foreign people in New Zealand liked it. So to this day, people will come and say, what happened to that backpacker show you're in? And I physically recoil. I shrivel up inside. I go, but it's often people who have immigrated to New Zealand. I remember people, the amount of people that said it got me understanding New Zealand humour is the most horrific thing you can hear.
And because it scarred you so deeply.
Yeah, yeah.
It helped you make sure that the project saved itself in the first 6 months by not saying it was comedy. So you both saved the project and educated a generation of New Zealand comedy.
There we go. That's what I was here for. I don't really feel too bad after gigs anymore. I actually get really mortified about it if it was bad.
Yeah.
But I kind of don't really care anymore. My mother passed away about 6 years ago.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah. And I had to talk at her wake, and I wrote a speech I was really proud of under the stress, and I wanted to talk, do it well, and I couldn't talk. I remember clutching onto the lectern, and I couldn't talk for, like, it felt like minutes, and you could hear people got very upset. I was very upset. And people were trying, like, people would get up every now and then to say, you know, you don't have to do it. And I'd be like, trying it. And I really, it took so hard. It was like word by word. I could, in my head, I was like crawling from each word to the next word. And I got out the first couple of sentences and then it got better and better. And then, not so much about doing the speech, but just doing, trying to do something for mum. And I got it out. And so everyone could share, you know, because, like, you know, I wanted to tell everyone how wonderful she was. And I got it out. And ever since then, I think I've, like, if I ever feel bad or scared before public speaking, I go, it doesn't compare with anything. If I can do that, I can do that to a church full of people who were right with me the entire way, where people were, it was so much wailing. It was full of, you know, everyone was with me. And I was like, if I can do that, then I don't fucking care about this group of people. I don't care about these people who are here, who come to see me. That, you know, I'm not related to everybody here. These aren't my friends. You know, like, it doesn't matter. You know, it's never going to be as hard as that. And so it's put a lot of stuff into perspective. Yeah. When mum passed as well, it was quite a weird, don't feel bad about eating chicken while I'm talking about mum's death.
No, this is we're honouring a very Pacific pastime now, aren't we?
Bit of skin hanging from you.
Tell me of your mother's death. I'm here with you, brother. I'm here with you.
Yeah, she'd be upset she's upset that I'm not eating that. And it was, you know, it was a big thing in my life, her dying. Obviously, the worst thing happened. I often try to visualize it for a long time after that. That I would, like, I'd imagine being a little kid and, like, dad would be here above my right and mum would be there above my left, and I could reach up and grab their hand, and all of a sudden, you know, one side's gone. And this is just, I don't know why, that it was just like this completely gone. And it was hard to deal with, obviously, but one thing that made it better was focusing on other members of our family, particularly dad, because dad lives on the farm where him and mum were. And I had to fly back out of Auckland, and so focusing on him was a big way to deal with it. And we got him to email us every day to tell us what was going on, and it started off being really weird email.
What level?
I've put sunscreen on my head. I am now going outside.
Oh yeah, everyone's had a dad message like that.
Yeah, but just like, you don't know what sort of state he's in, so you're like, what does that mean?
Oh, right, because it's heightened by the fact.
Like, yeah. And then, like, another one which was two words, which is goats outside. So it's just like, what does that mean? I mean, we don't have goats. The neighbours don't have goats. Because dad's very frugal, right? Yeah. So we went back down like 6 months later, and he was in the paddock, and I was like, what's he wearing? And then we were talking to him, and then I was like, that's mum's track pants. And I was like, oh no, he's like wearing mum's clothes. And we came in for a cup of tea and chatting away, and everything is, you know, everything's going all right. I was like, how are you going? You know, you've got some of mum's clothes on. He goes, yep, plenty more wear on these pants. Then you realise that he was just being cheap and didn't want to throw them out because he could wear them out and then get into the free pair of pants.
Right, that's just good Kiwi engineering.
But, you know, I don't know what sort of extent of mum's clothing he was wearing out there, but like, you've got to stop. You can't do this, mate. You've got to tell us.
You got to buy your own clothes.
Yeah. But it's a good close with him as a long sort of battle with me and my brothers. So that was really good. And then the emails ended up turning into, like, we ended up making a web series about them, about my dad sending us emails and then trying to decipher what they meant, called Subject Dad, which is dad loves, and, you know, it was quite a cool way to sort of secretly between us, my brothers and my dad, to honour mum without really talking about it. I don't know, this is quite a cool thing that came out of the whole thing.
Eating fried chicken in the shower, soothing your heart, basting your arteries.
Is there, you got anything else you would like to share in the shower?
I think, yeah, there is, actually. There is, I know we me and my wife took a while to have a baby, mm-hmm. and we it was just the fact that talking helps. Mm-hmm. We had three miscarriages, and which is, if you're the man, it's mm-hmm. like, well, for everybody's different. I know other couples who have a miscarriage and it's horrific. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was really bad as well. But we, because there's different stages, you can have it early in the term or late in the term. But we, ours were all early in the term. Ours were early in the term. And it was okay for me because the idea of being a parent was still new. And I don't trust anything. I don't trust that anything will happen anyway, ever, until it's happened. Mm. So if I get cast in a movie or something, I don't trust that I'm going to be in the movie until I've been on set and acted, and or I've seen the movie and I'm in the movie. Like, you, I never know if I'm... what's that piece of movie? Was it?
I don't know. Mm. Yeah, I think... Are you one of the people who doesn't go on holiday until they're sitting on the plane that's about to take off?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I don't go on holiday until I get back. Yeah. And so she, you know, but for her, it was... You know, her body has to go through this thing, and you know, she's gone through the excitement of having it, and then it, you know, it comes out, and so that was really tough because you feel really helpless, and I couldn't help my wife. But the worst thing about it is because when you're pregnant, you don't tell anyone that you're pregnant for 12 weeks or 8 weeks or something.
I think so. Yeah.
You don't tell anyone that in case something goes wrong, which is, and so like this thing happened over the course of a year, you know, three. Miscarriages, and we couldn't tell anyone. So she couldn't tell anyone. I think she might have told him, you know, very close family, but I didn't tell anyone. And I thought it didn't affect me as much, but it really did, it because I couldn't help my wife. I couldn't help her, you know, this person I care about the most in the world. And so it was very awful. The show that I work on called The Project, we did a week about infertility, and I said, look, I can talk about this because I think it's good to talk about it. And then as soon as I said that, there were five guys in the office who were all actually going through the same thing. All their wives had had miscarriages, and they were all trying to have... And it was like, just knowing that, like just knowing that I wasn't a weirdo, what, suddenly made it okay, and I can suddenly talk about it now, and it's all right. And same for them, like they'd come and tell me like where it happened for them, what they were going through, and just being able to share it and not be ostracized made it okay, and made it... a way to deal with it. It gave us a way to deal with it because it's different for everybody. Yeah, I don't know. How's your chicken?
Yeah, I've seen some of this tasty,
saucy chicken.
Yeah, I see your point. It is harder to eat after someone's talked to you about their miscarriage.
That was my point.
Yeah.
That was my
point.
Oh my gosh. Oh, a lot of sauce, a lot of sauce.
I reckon we'll call it there, so I'll let you go.
Fine, no, that's fine.
Thanks
fine.
So much for coming into the shower and eating some chicken and sharing some stories.
Well, I've really enjoyed being inside your safe space. And
thank you, but I will gladly come around to your place and help build a fence. I'm good at digging holes.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm actually really good at digging holes, man.
So I had to get help to dig a hole for the fence because I couldn't get back. No, because we were digging holes for the fence. This is another point. Sorry.
How did you grow up on a farm?
I know.
This is worse than the Tongan language.
Man. We had to dig holes for these trees that we bought from our own old house that we moved into, old flat that we grew. Anyway, and I couldn't dig them fast enough. It got dark too quick and they were dying. So I had to go on to a website to get a guy to come around to dig holes, and in walks the most beautiful Tonga man I've ever seen, who was ripped, and he'd like dig a hole and like boof, you know those guys like donk, yeah. Donk, donk, hole, and go, my wife kept coming out with cups of tea and like, go back inside, don't look at this man, and I was trying to dig at the same rate. He dug 8 holes for the trees when I dug 1, and then he had to come and finish my one off to make it better. It was just so humiliating. My wife was looking through the window. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Did he know you were Tongan?
Yes.
Oh, that guy's a dick then. Do a brother a solid, man.
Put a balaclava on or something. Don't do like something so beautiful. He was very good. I would recommend him.
Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower was produced by Charlie Bleakley and presented by me, James Nokise. The engineer is Blair Stagpool. The executive producers are Justin Gregory and Tim Watkin. Subscribe to every episode of this podcast at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio Public, or at radionz.co.nz/series. And while you're on Apple, please rate us by clicking on ratings and review, then the stars. But only give us 5. It's really simple and means way more to us than it does to you. It's a great way to spread the word and get me more free fried chicken. If you want to share your safe space or comfort food, tweet me at James Nokise. All complaints can be tweeted to RNZ. Faftailava, matewa.
This podcast is made possible by the RNZ New Zealand On Air Innovation Fund.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.